Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel Perek Mem Dalet, the 44th chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. The general theme of this Perek is now moving away from the structure and the role of the Beis HaMikdash and now to actually the Kohanim, the priests who serve in the Beis HaMikdash. This is a Perek of 31 Pesukim. And in fact, from Pasuk Tesvav to Laman Aleph 15 to 31, actually acts as the Haftorah of Parshas Emor. Very apropos, because Parshas Emor in Sefer Vayikra is the parsha which deals with the role and the jobs of Kohanim. And that's what's going to be the focus of this parak, just from the perspective of the future. It is interesting to note that over here it sounds like Hashem is speaking directly to Yechezkel, which is different to the previous four parakim, in which he has been listening to the angel, which has been guarding him through the temple up to this point. It seems, the Da'at Mikra suggests, that once the Shekhinah re-enters the Beis HaMikdash, now Yechezkel has a direct line to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is no longer going through intermediary of this angel who is directing him around it. So let's, without much further ado, the first section seems to actually really belong at the end of last Perek. The first section is from Sukkim Aleph through to Gemel, and through Dalet. And in this section, he sees that in fact the Shara Kodim, the Shara Chitzon, is closed. The easterly gate is closed, and Hashem says it will be closed. Nobody will go through it. Why? Because because Hashem, the God of Israel, went through it. And at this point, he describes Es Nasi, Nasi hu yeshev boy le'echol lechem lifnei Hashem, and the prince or the king will sit in that gate and eat his bread. And that's where he's brought through the northern gate, and he sees Hashem's presence in the Beis HaMikdash. And again, Yechezkel falls on his face; he prostrates himself. What is going on with this closed gate? So it seems that the Radak points out is because Hashem has already entered using that gate, so in deference it is closed. Rashi points out, quoting Chazal, that doesn't mean to say that the easterly gate of the temple is closed, but every gate, these gates were massive gates. On the side of every gate was a small slip gate called a pishpesh in the word of the Mishnah. And if you look through Maseches Midos or Maseches Tamid, which is actually the same Masechta in Gemara, the description is there's a little gate on the side. That little gate was symbolically closed. That was not because of the past, Rashi suggests, but because of the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will travel through that gate, in whatever that means in a physical sense. And in fact, during the times of the Second Beis HaMikdash, this pishpesh, this side gate, in fact, was closed to remember this. Who is the Nasi? Who is this person who is the king? So the Metzudas points out this is the Melech HaMashiach, and in order to distinguish between him and the rest of the people, he will sit in the gate and, so to speak, be the onlooker and the person who oversees what's going on and will be recognized as he eats in this gate. Obviously, we're coming in through the Messianic age, and so he's going to herald in this period of tremendous elevation. Now, we next move into the next section, which describes the rules for the Beis HaMikdash. So this runs from Pasuk He to Pasuk Yud Dalet, the next chunk of the Perek. And in this, we're told that you're going to pay attention to all the details and the laws of the Mikdash. And the only way Bnei Yisrael are no longer able to do what they were doing. They're not able to do their disgraces. They're not going to bring their people who are not worthy into the Beis HaMikdash. Who are these people not worthy? So he says, we're going to guard the Beis HaMikdash from Kol Ben Nechar, Arel Lev, Arel Basar. A person who's a stranger, what does that mean? A person who has a uncircumcised heart or uncircumcised flesh, which seems to mean to say that people who are physically or emotionally not in the right state cannot enter into the Beis HaMikdash, into the confines of the precinct of the temple. He then talks about the Kohanim, who in the past had used their priestly abilities or misused their priestly abilities to serve Avodah Zarah. So people in the past had used their strengths and their abilities to serve in some sort of other services or powers in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes very carefully that Yan, because Asher Yishov saw some lifnei Gilu Lehem, because they served other powers, therefore, v'lo yigshu elai lekahenli. They're not going to serve in front of me. Rather, v'nosati yosam shomrei mishmeres habayis l'chol avodasai. They're going to be serving in other capacities. They won't be able to bring korbanos. They're going to serve in other capacities in the Beis HaMikdash. There is a consequence for their actions. Going further in the next section, from Tes Vov to Tes Zayin, we are introduced to those people who will serve in the Beis HaMikdash in the formative position of bringing Karbonos. And who are these? The Kohanim HaLeviim B'nei Tzadok. The Kohanim, who are the Levites, sounds like there's going to be a merging of the Kohanim and the Levites, as the Arizal suggests, into one entity, and they're going to be the children of Tzadok, who are going to serve in front of me because they did not stray like B'nai Yisrael did after all the other Avodah Zorahs. Who were B'nai Tzadok? Who was Tzadok? So Rashi points out that Tzadok was in fact the first Kohen Gadol at the times of Shlomo HaMelech in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're going back to the times where things were better, times where things were more perfect, where there was less sin. That's what we're reaching back into. In fact, the Radak adds in Perek Mem that the line of Tzadok was the line of Pinchas, who replaced the line of Itamar, one of those other sons of Aaron. Pinchas was the son of Elazar, not from Itamar. And the reason is because there was a curse placed on the house of Eli, which was from the line of Itamar, and this was the replacement of their line with the line of Pinchas coming from Elazar, and that's where they come from. The next little section of the Perek, from Yud Zayin to Yud Tes, deals with the big day kahuna, with the clothing of that the Kohanim would wear, and it describes things which you are familiar with from Parshas Emor, but you know they have to wear pishtim, which is flax. They can't wear these clothes out of the Azara. But what's interesting is about this section is that not only do they have the special begadim, the special clothes, but they're told v'loy yale alehim tzemer, they shouldn't wear wool on them. Now, that doesn't seem to be one of the prerequisites of Kohanim beforehand. So how does that work? What's happening here? Are the rules changing? This is a question we can see asked over and over again in the descriptions of Yechezkel. So there's two ways of looking at it, as there are two ways of looking at all of these questions. And that is, for instance, the Metzudas would say, no, this is referring only to the Kohanim Gedolim, who enter into the Kodesh Kedoshim, and they are not allowed to wear wool. So it's referring specifically to the Kohanim Gedolim, even though it sounds like the plural refers to many Kohanim, but it is referring to all Kohanim Gedolim. Whereas Radak is a little more liberal about this and says, no, this is not referring to only the Kohanim Gedolim. It may mean that in the future the rules will change. The regular Kohanim will have more stringent rules, will be more like Kohanim Gedolim at such a point in time. Which leads into the next section. The next section is the restrictions in the Kohanim's lifestyle, which runs from Pasuk Chof to Chof Zayin, in which we're told they can't shave their heads, they can't have too long hair, they can't drink wine. When they go into the Beis HaMikdash, they can't marry not only divorcees, but even widows, interestingly enough. But they can marry other Kohanim's widows. And what's their job? They're going to teach my people between holy and empty, and they're going to tell all of Israel between the difference between purity and impurity, and they're going to explain the judgments. They're going to be in charge of teaching and educating all of Israel as to what it looks like to be people who keep the times, certainly the sanctity of time and the sanctity of place. So again, how does this work with what the Torah says about Kohanim? I mean, you say we don't see any restrictions on haircuts necessarily by regular Kohanim. So again, there's two ways of looking at them. And so this will say, yeah, this is referring to the Kohen Gadol who had a special haircut, so it's limiting the description over here against what seems to be the Pshat. And the Radak says, no, in the future, the all Kohanim will have some sort of restriction of not having their hair grow more than 30 days. And that's going to be a restriction that's going to be in place for all Kohanim, even though it wasn't in the previous Kohanim before the times of Mashiach. Similarly, marrying a Almana, a woman who was married before and her husband passed away, Chas V'Shalom, so Rabbi Nel says that could mean to say that it's referring only to the Kohen Gadol, like the Torah says, or it could be referring to the regular Kohanim, and this may be the new laws in the future. So again, there's two ways of looking at all of this. Is this a new future, or is this actually just simply referring to specifically the Kohanim Gadolim? Finally, the parak closes with the inheritance of the Kohanim and describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they don't get their own nachla, their own inheritance, but they are my inheritance, and they're going to get all these special priests to the Kohanim. There's going to be Bikurim, and they're going to get Truma, and Reishis Arusas Arisal Seichem, the first of the doughs, Chala. They're going to get all these special gifts. Why? Because they serve me in the base of Mikdash. And finally, it closes off with an enigmatic sentence, and that is, they cannot eat any carcasses, any animals which were not shechted properly or died of internal injuries. Which is a very interesting thing, because that's a halacha which applies to all Jews. That's a regular mitzvah, that you're not allowed to eat nevelos and trefos, unshechted animals. So what does that mean? So why are the Kohanim being emphasized here? So there's three fascinating answers. Rashi says because the Kohanim are allowed to do melika. Melika is where, instead of shechting a bird, they can use a specially sharpened thumbnail to slaughter the birds for the Beis HaMikdash. So they're reminded, because they're involved in a non-typical shechita process, they're reminded they cannot eat regularly nevelos. The Radak says no, it's because that the velus and trefos, any animal which is not shechted properly, not only is it not allowed to be eaten, but also it renders tumor and makes a person impure. And because they have to be in and out of the Beis HaMikdash, they need to be extra specially careful, not only with eating, but in terms of coming into contact with this. And Kabbalistically, the Chiddush suggests over here that because this is the time of war, of the war of Gog and Magog, and we know that the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Melachim, that when at times of war, people may be able to, let's say there's no food to eat nevelos and trefos, not when they're being forced to by somebody else, but that's all that there is to eat. So because it could be that it's being emphasized here that the Kohanim do not have that dispensation, only regular soldiers. And finally, just an overall comment over here. If you look at the beginning of Parshas Shoftim, we're told that ki polei do bimcha davar lamishpat. When you have like some things which are hidden from you from in judgment, bein dam ledan, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, whether it be, you know, a legal issue, whether it be a ritual issue, whether it be a social issue, what should you do? You should go to the Beis HaMikdash. You go to the Kohanim, you go to the Levim, you go to the judges in those times, and they'll try to resolve your dispute. The fascinating thing over here is what seems to be happening in the future is that the role of the Kohanim seems to be shifting. Now the role is not simply that they're going to wait for judgment to come there to them. It seems that the primary focus over here, and perhaps why there are more added restrictions, is that they have to have more of a role in actually externally going out and educating the rest of Klal Yisrael, to be that bridge between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not just to be the passive bridge, but to be the active educating bridge to Klal Yisrael, which explains why their new role may come with new restrictions. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.